Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things travel. Good afternoon, Sally Lucas.
Hi, Amanda.
Good to have you. Now, what's happening today?
We're going to just revisit a couple of topics we've talked about before. One is packing, those different styles everyone has of how to pack, what to pack, mm-hmm. how much to pack, and also about some new seating arrangements in economy class on some aircraft that'll make it a little more comfortable for us.
Oh, so you can stretch your legs out a bit more.
Yes, or stretch yourself out.
This is Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7, and we're going to talk about packing.
Yeah, why not? Talk about packing, which is what I'm in the middle of doing at the moment, to get away next week. You know, they'll throw it all on the bed and say yes, no, as you do.
And you've got to roll everything.
Well, yeah, you roll or vacuum, you know, sort of, so you've got your bags that you can compress.
Suck it all in.
Yeah, so everyone has different methods, whether it's doing it, but either way, anything like that is a lot better. You'll fit more stuff in, not that you want to take too much stuff, which is where we're coming to with this. So there are different systems of packing, but I was reading an article, one of the travel magazines on the weekend, and they say that the 5-4-3-2-1 method works really well, which is 5 tops, 4 bottoms, 3 dresses, 2 layers, and 1 destination specific item if you want something nice to wear out.
Oh, I like that.
And then the other one is even more conservative, the rule of 3. 3 tops, 3 bottoms, and 3 pairs of shoes.
Oh, that's not enough.
Well, I'm trying to limit it to the 3 pairs of shoes, to be quite honest, because I'm going to need a good, strong walking one when you get off from the Zodiac, like on the cruise when you're going ashore, because it could be wet as well. And then I want, you know, a nice sort of smarter shoe to go out at night if you're going out to dinner, and then a more comfortable sneaker, not a hiking type one. So I'm actually going to take, I've got these beautiful boots that are soft as, and they've also got the good arch support in them. They're just little ankle boots, but they're just the softest of leather. And I'm thinking I can live in those during the day. Mm. So, and just the others. Anyway, getting back to this. So yes, the essentials. Now, obviously your passport, ID or whatever you've got, medication, phone, cards, chargers, laptop, cords and headphones, all go in your handbag or carry-on, never in your checked luggage. I know so many people have had things stolen, bags gone astray, whole bags stolen, they've had their laptop in it, or it's just a no-no. So just remember that. Do never put anything like that into your checked luggage.
Anything that's important, carry it with you.
With you, absolutely. And don't forget to carry a copy of your passport or have it on your phone as another form of ID as well. So keep that in mind as well. And I do, like I said before, and I think lay them out on the bed is a good idea. If you've got a spare bed, and make sure that you've got the combinations where you've got the right colours there. Like you're limiting yourself to, you know, maybe all dark bottoms, and then it doesn't matter. Then you can wear any colour with any of those bottoms. You know, if you want a different 5 different coloured tops or 4 different coloured tops, you look different, even
that's
though
right.
Your bottoms are the same. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think anyway. But a lot of people, though, keep adding. They keep looking. That's what they're saying. This is where you can't do that. That's why I don't pack till the last minute, because then you won't overpack, I don't think. Suddenly it's tomorrow and I'm going, so I've got to pack. You know, with some people start packing a week out and then go back and look at the suitcase and think, I might need to add that or add this. So 3 pairs of shoes are plenty for most shorter trips. Wear your bulkiest ones on the plane, obviously, is what we always say. If you've got a jacket, wear that as well. It can go up in the locker rather than having to. I mean, I'm going to pack my small puffer jacket because they pack down to nothing. But like the all-weather jacket, I'll probably wear.
Anything heavy, wear it.
Wear it as your weight of your luggage. Yeah. All socks and undies you can shove into your shoes as well. It's another good tip. I have a little separate bag for my undies that I ziplock and compress. So they're all just in that one bag that you pull out, which makes life a lot easier when you're travelling on the road and you're in different places all the time. It's different when you're unpacking once. But if you're on the go, to have everything compartmentalised is a much easier way than you're not dragging everything out of your suitcase all the time.
Mm.
So that's what I think anyway. Toiletries, of course. I mean, make sure you tip your larger bottles. You can buy all those little small ones now. Make sure you've got small sizes of everything so you've not got heavy, you know, bottles of shampoo. But these days, like nearly all hotels provide you with your shampoo and conditioner. So unless you're specific, because you might have a scalp conditioner that you have a specific shampoo, well, fair enough. But still make sure it's small. I often take a spare small cake of soap, because I often like that. I don't always like using the pump bottle wash.
So body often, wash, yeah.
And not all hotels provide you with a washer. So I'll often pack a washer because I like using a washer. And you can have a little Ziploc bag. If it's still a bit damp, you can put that in until you get to your next destination. So, yeah, just think about, be sensible. I mean, hair dryers, no one needs them anymore. All the hotels have hair dryers usually, so you don't have to worry about that.
Just run free.
Oh, yeah, just be natural. Sleepwear, obviously, you've got to have sleepwear, swimwear if necessary, and you might want to throw in a little soft casual bag you can fit in your suitcase if you're going out at night, if you're carrying more like a light backpack as your hand luggage or your usual everyday handbag. Yeah, so that's packing. That was my few tips. And also in the paper I noticed that Michael Gabicki, who writes for the Sydney Morning Herald, has said that a United Airlines has broken the ground with the announcement of what they call its United Relax Row, which is going to be a big win for economy flyers looking for more comfortable, times on long-haul flights. So what they're going to do, they're going to have a row of three economy seats that transform into a couch for long-haul travel. The legrests in this row fold at a 90-degree angle, creating a wide bed with more room to sleep. So that's good. And they said there'll even be room enough for an infant or young child to sort of snuggle up against you as well. Now, we don't know how much this is going to cost yet. They haven't come up with a cost so far. It's going to come out next year, so not quite yet. And it'll be on the Boeing 787 and 777 wide-bodied aircraft, which is about one-fifth of United's fleet anyway. So that's going to be pretty good, though, that you've got that option, which is still going to be cheaper than premium economy or business. Mm. So, I mean, there will be a cost, obviously, which you can understand. You're taking up three seats.
That's right.
So there's got to be a cost involved. Air New Zealand has got that as well, so keep that in mind. They have that as well. And they've got another one that hasn't come in yet. It was going to come in a couple of years back, but it's been deferred. But they've got what they call the Sky Nest, which is six flatbeds stacked in three tiers, and you can book four-hour slots to get a sleep. So we're still waiting for that to come in, but they still do have the similar thing to United where you can have those three seats as well. So, yeah, I hope other airlines come on board with this because I think it's a really good option for your long-haul flights.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, so.
All right. This is Talking Travel, and we're going to talk about a couple of cruises.
Yes. Now, this first one, it's got two options. You can either go on the 6th of November from Sydney to Bali or reverse from Bali back to Sydney on the 25th of November. It's 17 days and you're just going to see a lot of Australia going around that coastline. So you start in Sydney, calls into Newcastle on the way through. Then you're going up the coast. You go to Brisbane. And they even got an option there to go to Steve Irwin's Australia Zoo,
nice.
Which is nice. Then more coastal up the coast till you get to the Whitsundays. And, of course, that's just a beautiful part of our country, of course, and I'm sure everyone would get off and want to do something on the reef there. Townsville, an interesting town as well. We enjoyed that last year when we went to a lot of old architecture, which is interesting there as well. And then there's a lot of Aboriginal culture there if they're interested also. Then to Cairns, of course, which is another wonderful city. Then you traverse the Coral Sea up to Thursday Island, which will be very interesting to visit. And then through the Arafura Sea to Darwin. You have 2 days in Darwin, which is good. So that gives you a chance if you want to go to the Tiwi Islands. Then you cross the Timor Sea into the Komodo National Park, which, of course, is famous for its dragons. Or there's a beautiful beach called Pink Beach where you can go snorkeling. And then they go to Lombok in Indonesia, which has got lots of lovely islands on that part of Indonesia. Lombok is a very pretty island. Then you end up finishing up in Bali. So you can either do that or you can do the reverse, as I said. So two nice 17-day itineraries, Viking as usual, adults only. All your cruising, all your most of your sightseeing is 9 guided tours are included. All meals, any of the restaurants. You don't have to just at one restaurant. You can dine at any of the specialty restaurants. So keep that in mind. Drinks included, etc., etc. Now, Coral Expeditions have also got a very interesting itinerary. This is February 2027, and it's going from Hobart all the way around to Fremantle. So it's going up to the round Hobart to up the top, across the top of Tassie, up to King Island. Then it goes to Port Fairy, to Robe, to Kangaroo Island, to Cape Donnington, Coffin Bay, Flinders Island, the magnificent Bunda Cliffs, which are just superb, Lucky Bay, which is Esperance, that beautiful part of West Australia, Woody Island, one of the islands off there, which is a little archipelago of islands off Esperance, then Albany, Augusta, Busselton, Rottnest, Fremantle.
What an interesting
itinerary, 18 nights. Yeah, so that's something different if you don't want to leave the bottom half of the world at the moment and stay down this end of the world. There's two lovely cruises you could look at to do. So, yeah, that's just something really, really nice. I'd love to do either of those, actually.
Yeah, add it to my list.
I wouldn't worry. I mean, I'm cruising soon, but I'm not doing that. I'm in NZ, but never mind. We'll get round to doing this.
I'm sure you'll get there. You go everywhere, Sally.
What's this retirement? You're never at home.
Isn't that what retirement's all about,
exactly.
Travelling? I think so, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Sal. We'll talk about hot deals.
Hot deals, and there's just so many. I mightn't get through them all today. We'll have to save some up. Anyway, as part of the 130th anniversary of HX Expeditions, which is part of Hurtigruten, for the rest of this year, they are got all their or most of their departures are on sale for up to 35% off. Until sold out. So it could be the Galapagos, it could be Antarctica, the Arctic. Obviously, they're limited, of course, because we're still talking this year, so that it's not that there's a lot of vacancies. But if you still haven't booked anything for this year, that's quite a good saving. 35% is not to be sneezed at. Viking, they've also got an event of up to 35% off, depending on which voyage you're doing. It'll be different, whether it's an ocean, a river, whatever. So there'll be different discounts applicable. And you've got up till the 30th of June. So that's you're getting in nice and early so you can have savings again. And also Travel Marble, they've got what they call pre-registration because they've got such strong demand for 2027 for a lot of people that haven't travelled this year or chosen not to. They're letting you pre-register so that you get the first offer when all the new itineraries come out.
Well, that's good.
So that you'll get the early bird discount, whatever's on offer, you'll be the first to get it. So all you've got to do with your travel agent is just pre-register. So that's good. And Albatross has also got a very similar thing. They've got the same. So for spring and summer next year, you can unlock, as it says, the early bird savings. You give your first choice of tours. No deposit required with them until May 2026. So that is giving you plenty of time, to save up. And there's lots of wonderful adventures they do as well. Slovenia and the Croatian islands, alpine areas of Zurich all the way through to Milan. Beautiful itineraries there, Albatross have. Italian Grande, which is a beautiful 18-day Milan to Rome itinerary. Really, you are immersing yourself in Italy, which is just wonderful.
Italy's beautiful.
It is. Now, if you're looking closer to home, there's a nice tour of China. It's land only, so you just get your best airfare to go with this. It's the Ancient Cities and Yangtze River China Tour. It's a 15-day escorted tour, and it will operate with a minimum of two people even. So that is really good. So these have got regular departures, and you're going to be seeing some incredible places from the Great Wall to the amazing Three Gorges, Beijing, Xi'an, Chengdu, Chongqing, Nanjing, Shanghai. Visit the pandas while you're in Chengdu, of course, that's what it's famous for. The Great Wall, we all know what that's famous for, being the Great Wall. The Terracotta Warriors, which are wonderful in Xi'an. You do a three-night, five-star Yangtze River cruise through the Three Gorges, do some high-speed rail, four- to five-star accommodation, lots of inclusions, no hidden extras. So that's really quite a good one to do. And lastly, Vietnam. I haven't spoken about Vietnam for ages, and I really love Vietnam.
There you go. There's a topic for another week.
So that might be a topic for another week. But there's some interesting tours out there at the moment as well. Really, again, immersing yourself in Vietnam for 17 days, or there's a 23-day, which is, these are with Bunnik, airfares included. They do that, which I think is fantastic, and that's doing Cambodia as well. And they've got 26 and 27 departures with early bird discounts on them. So, look, there's quite a lot out there. We'll get back to Vietnam another time, though.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you've got some great deals there. So,
yes.
If anyone would like to find out more, you can re-listen to the podcast.
Yes.
And, this is Talking Travel. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks, Sally.
Yes, well, that's right. I'm going to be missing in action for a while
you
now.
You will. Enjoy your trip to New Zealand.
I will. I'll be coming back talking all about the land of the long white cloud.
We look forward to it. Thank you. This is 2NURFM.